From Islamic Finance News, the world's leading Islamic finance news provider, this is IFN Podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to the IFN Podcast. I'm Amir Zainal, Senior Journalist at Islamic Finance News. And today we have Sam Shafi'i, one of the co-founders of Malaysian equity crowdfunding platform PitchIn, that has moved on to offer other investing and fundraising services as well. In 2022, after 10 years of being established, PitchIn received approval from the Securities Commission Malaysia to list Sharia-compliant companies on PitchIn. So during the course of this interview, we will hear Sam's experience of managing a digital crowdfunding platform in Malaysia, their venture into Sharia-compliant services, and the company's future and beyond. Good afternoon, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Emil.
So let's start off with a little bit of history of PitchIn. Yeah. So I would like to ask, what was the motivation for establishing PitchIn back in 2012? And what can you say about the progress that the company has made over the last 11 years?
Right. Thanks, Emil. So 11 years ago, right? So it's quite a long time ago that we had this idea with my co-founder, Kashminder Singh, or Kash, in terms of setting up PitchIn. But if there is one word in terms of why we wanted to set up PitchIn, was really about democratizing fundraising and investing. That's not really one word. That's what, three or four words. But really, it's about democratizing fundraising and investing. Kash and I got together after leaving our previous jobs, and we started investing in startups, right? But we more focused on early stage startups. And that's where we saw the biggest challenge faced by early stage startups. So the pre-seed and seed is normally quite easy because you either have your family and friends or angel investors like myself and Cash, or you could have grant money from the government, right? But beyond the pre-seed and seed and leading to the A series, that's where a lot of companies die, right? So there's this famous graphic that I think a lot of venture capitalist investors have used called the Valley of the Death. And that's where I think a lot of companies die, either not being able to show that they could actually show a product market fit. And most probably they died because they can't even raise money to help them to show that, right? So that was the gap that we saw, and that's when we thought fundraising through the crowd could potentially be the answer. Kickstarter was obviously an early inspiration. I do a lot of projects on Kickstarter. I thought, why can't this be in Malaysia? In 2012, we went live with PitchIn, but focusing on reward crowdfunding. But at the back of our minds, it was always about wanting to do equity crowdfunding and really addressing that real problem which I saw. 2013-14, we used that time to actually, you know, speak to the SC. Way back in 2013, was already ready with plans for that. So it was really an easy conversation with the regulators. And then push forward to 2015, together with five other platforms, we were one of the six early registered market operators that was recognized by the Securities Commission. So that's how we started. Fast forward to today, we are, in terms of numbers, either fundraise or number of companies, the largest platform in Malaysia. Right. We're currently just a few $100,000 shy of 300 million ringgit. So we will be hitting that number very, very soon. And we've assisted 164 companies in terms of the fundraising. We started with six people, inclusive of me and Cash. But we are now a team of 32. Full-fledged compliance team, full-fledged ECF team, an IEO team, and a support team made up of people who does marketing and so forth. You mentioned also that last year we received the, what do you call it, Sharia approval to list Sharia compliant companies. It's something that I think both Cash and I wanted to do. We thought it was now the right time. So we got that. Apart from that, we will also be going live with our secondary market, hopefully in September. Yep. So we'll do a soft launch this month, and then we will go live with the secondary market in the middle of September. Then last but not least, again, on the theme of really developing PitchIn, we are now one of the two platforms approved by the SC to also then run an initial exchange offering. Mm-hmm. So that's where companies can then raise money through digital tokens. The company itself, we also have raised funds since inception. We raise money from the crowd. Obviously, we need to do that. If not, we will be accused of not even believing in our own product. Right? So we did do a ECF fundraising for Pitchin itself.
Right.
Before early this year, we closed one round with two VCs, namely MTDC and Gobi Partners. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so briefly, that's how we've grown since the humble days of 2012. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you see Pitchin different now than how it was when it was established, other than the fact that now it's more people working in Pitchin?
Yeah, true. So the whole makeup of the industry has also changed drastically from the early days of 2015. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with the regulators being open to suggestions, feedback, mm-hmm. keeping in time with what we've seen, not just in Malaysia, but also throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky that we have a really open regulatory body that really insists on engaging us and supporting us, obviously. So the evidence of that is actually on the framework itself. Mm-hmm. If you see the framework in 2015, it's very, very different from what you see those days to today. Mm-hmm. A great example would be the amount that companies can raise. Mm-hmm. In the early days, I think everyone got it that the challenge is that funding gap, that 3 million ringgit just before you can raise your Series A, and they address that to the first iteration of the framework. Mm. Now it's 20 million. Mm-hmm. And now we've seen even people who at the moment when ECF was launched and having questions whether will this work, mm-hmm. Are they competing against VCs, the traditional investors in the startup world, right? Mm-hmm. But now with fundraising being elevated to 20 million, we now see friends from the VC world coming in together, mm-hmm. Co-investing with the crowd, right? So I think it's becoming very, very organic in terms of growth. Mm-hmm. And I think credit has to go to the regulators, who were keeping in time as the ecosystem grew, and not keeping itself to where it was in 2015, mm-hmm. because by then you probably see a lot of frustrated RMOs, right? Mm-hmm. But we're now happy bunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great. You mentioned a bit just now, and I'd like to go in a bit deeper about the introduction of Sharia compliant companies on the platform since last year.
Yep.
So my question is, what has been the market reception to this new service, and how many Sharia compliant companies have been listed on Pitchin so far, and how much funds have been raised for them?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we went live with our first campaign in 2016. Yeah, we got the approval, and we only applied it last year, and we got the approval soon after, right after. I think if you look at how ECF grew, the number one challenge that we had, and we still need to do more, is awareness and education, right? Mm-hmm. I think the idea that at that time of companies privately held being able to raise funding from the public was quite alien to a lot of people. And the only other example which people saw was the Bursa, right? But investing in privately held companies was quite alien. So in that sense, I think we took a lot of time to actually do a lot of education awareness. The learning was quite a bit steep, mm-hmm. So we spent time on that. Now, fast forward to 2021, 2022, that's where we thought that, okay, now that we've done all these conventional deals, now I think it's time for us to actually introduce Sharia-compliant companies. Mm-hmm. And there has been a demand from some of our investors, who are very particular in terms of the companies which they put their money in. Mm-hmm. Although on the surface, the companies are actually doing Sharia compliant services or product, right? Mm-hmm. But what was absent was that really qualified status, right? Mm-hmm. So 2022, we got that. Again, we went down to the ground, did a lot of awareness education, spoke to many, many companies, and let them know that this is potentially an added advantage for you, mm-hmm. if you were to choose the Sharia route. Mm-hmm. It does not change the makeup of your company.
Yeah.
It just gives you that added glitz to your company, right? And you may be able to raise funding from other people that may not even be looking at your company without that compliant condition. Mm-hmm. So currently we have one company which campaign is ending today.
Okay.
They've done quite well. They've raised 890% above what they were targeting. So they will be potentially be closing at around 2.5 million ringgit. And there has been 85, 86 investors in that particular company. So the first ever company, I would say, is a runaway success in terms of the funding campaign. Mm-hmm. There are 9 other companies awaiting.
Okay.
3 have actually gotten the approval in terms of its Sharia compliance. The other 5 is actually now undergoing the process, right? Mm. We do expect many more. Mm-hmm. It's just that it takes a bit of time. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll see more next year.
So how does that work? The certification, does that one of the things that PitchIn provide to aspiring companies?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do as part of the process, right? So this is really what we do, right? So when companies are onboarded onto PitchIn, unless they're really not Sharia compliant, so we don't really offer that.
Right.
Those who come in directly, it's part of it, right? Unless you specifically tell me that you don't want to, which would raise my eyebrows. I'm like, it's free, right? So we're not really charging you. We're absorbing all the costs for our advisor to do the checks, right? Whether they are compliant or not, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't really lose anything, mm-hmm. and you probably would be gaining a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you genuinely believe that there is a significant gap that you are currently filling in by offering Sharia compliant companies for your investors? What can you say about the demand from investors to invest in Sharia compliant companies, at least in the ECF platform?
I think that's a valid point, right? Because if one were to look at how we've performed for the last, 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Nearly 300 million ringgit. And I think 298 of them is conventional, right? Mm-hmm. Just the recent 2.2 million from this particular company who went on live under Sharia compliant. So one could argue that based on the numbers, does PitchIn need a Sharia compliant arm for companies?
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to give a lot more variety to investors, and that's why we decided to venture into Sharia compliant. Mm-hmm. I think there is also a group of investors, right, that are very, I would say, particular about how their investments are done. Mm-hmm. We want to cater to that market. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not the first. Mm-hmm. There was already a platform that was Sharia compliant before PitchIn.
Right.
And I think, again, it's no secret that all of us do check out each other, right? So so we think there is a market there, mm-hmm. That we also want to be able to help to grow, right?
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned one company has raised funding through the Sharia compliant route.
Yep.
And 9 more are waiting for approval. So do you mind sharing the one company that has been approved?
Yep. So it's called Aping Technology. So they're a software-based company. So they build software not just for people, but also have their own IP. A really fast-growing company. And the founder is actually a non-Muslim.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Predominantly, the company is not run by my Muslim. And this is the myth that people think, right? That that you need to also be a Muslim company, right, to
There's
do
no
this, right?
No,
it's
that,
not a requirement, right? As long as your business meets all the conditions, then it's a word go. Mm-hmm. So for what they call for Aping Technology, I think they jump onto that offer to do a Sharia compliant company, and they're doing quite well. Mm-hmm. They're closing today. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's great. So you've mentioned quite a bit just now about the regulatory environment in Malaysia for equity crowdfunding, or specifically for startups in Malaysia. If I may ask for a bit more elaboration on that, like what are some of the pros and cons of the regulatory environment in Malaysia, and what can Malaysia learn from other jurisdictions in terms of supporting startups and equity crowdfunding platforms?
Right. So in terms of equity crowdfunding in this region, we're the first, right? We were the first to introduce a regulatory framework for equity crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are clearly the leaders for equity crowdfunding. We were also one of the earliest country to allow retail investors to actually do crowdfunding, i.e. to invest in crowdfunding campaigns. Mm-hmm. Other countries only allow accredited investors. So I think the country, through the regulators, were quite bold in terms of allowing retail investors to come in, especially in a particular product, which is, as you know, ML is very, very high risk.
Yes, yes.
These are privately held companies. Mm. But I think with the framework that the SEC has developed in terms of the due diligence and compliance, right? I think when a company is listed on any other platform, not just at Pitchin, right? I think to a degree, investors would have confidence in the company in terms of what it represents, what it offers, the people behind the company, and so forth, right? Now, what happens 1 year after that is really out of control, right?
Right, yeah.
But on the onset, when people are offered this investment opportunity, it already has cleared whatever due diligence and compliance that we need to check, right? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, like I said, our framework in terms of ECF is probably one of the most progressive. Mm-hmm. I remember I had this conversation with a quite senior, well-known VC from Singapore.
Okay.
And she was quite intrigued in terms of the development of equity crowdfunding in Malaysia. Why is it so dynamic in Malaysia compared to other countries, including hers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my simple answer to that was that look at the framework that Malaysia has and compare that to the ones that you have, right? I think clearly you will see why it has grown so big in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
It's the active participation of the retail investors coupled with angel and sophisticated investors. If you were to just focus on accredited investors, you probably won't see that dynamic that you see in Malaysia right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of countries are only allowing those kind of investors, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you know generally the composition of retail investors and sophisticated investors in your platform?
Yeah. So you'd be surprised, Emil, that the majority of the investors are retail.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because these are young professionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they are already schooled in terms of investment and investments, right?
Mm.
So they are themselves knowledgeable about startups. They know that some of the biggest startups that came about most probably did not went through an ECF platform before this, before they were big, right?
Mm-hmm.
People like, you know, MyTech, you became Grab and whatnot, right? But now when they saw the lorry on Pitchin, so people are investing in that. They saw Policy Street, who I think you know recently just raised quite a bunch of money from Kazana, right?
These are well-known.
Precisely. Stuff, yeah. But they raised on ECF too, right? Money Match, digital, part of the digital bank, also raised money on ECF through Pitchin, right? Signature Market, for example, right? So a lot of the participation actually came from retail. But as you can imagine, the numbers are really conquered by the retail guys. But when you flip it over in terms of the money, the what they call the minority of the numbers in terms of high net worth and angel investors, they represent the majority of the amount of money. So it's always that 70-30, 80-20.
Right. Okay.
And I think that's really the makeup of equity crowdfunding, right? And I know for a fact that for some investors, especially those who are more professional, right, they tend to wait until they see that suddenly the surge of retail guys coming in. So they know these are people who actually buy those products. And if someone love the product enough to also invest in the company, that's telling you a lot about the company, right?
Right.
And that's where the big boys will then come in and top up whatever balances. I think this is really the makeup of equity crowdfunding.
Right. Thank you very much for sharing that. So after all that, 11 years in the business, you've got a whole lot of milestones that you've achieved throughout the years. So what does the future hold for Pitchin? What are your plans?
We obviously want to be the digital fundraising and investment hub in Malaysia. Not just in Malaysia, but also regionally. So there are plans to also expand this outside of Malaysia, right? We want to be a place where companies can look at the platform, choose the products which is suitable for them at their particular stage, and then focus on building great companies. I think investors, I think we want to be able to manage their wealth by investing in, again, multiple products or products which they have risk appetite. So you could either invest in equity or even a digital token or maybe in the future even DApp, right? We want to be that ecosystem, right? And we want to be part of the ecosystem that will then give birth to really, really good companies, right? Just before they go for IPO, or you will hear companies being acquired by even larger companies, right? We want them to have that commonality where they came from an equity crowdfunding platform. It doesn't have to be a pitch-in, right? Because there are nine other platforms doing the same hard work as what we're doing, right? But I think this is a strength that we don't recognize we have. I still remember a couple of years back when I was doing our research for our annual report, right? And we suddenly realized again that pitch-in is actually quite big. Bigger than even our counterparts, not just in ASEAN, but comparable to APAC. Okay, don't do Aussie dollars to ringgit, right? But if you do one-to-one, right, we're bigger even than them. And yet we don't even talk about it, right? And we don't really celebrate it, right? I think it's high time that we actually shout that in Malaysia we found a niche where not just investments are coming from the venture capitalists or whatnot, but the crowd is also enthralled and excited to invest in really high growth companies. So yeah, we want to be on top of that in the end.
Any plans to expand overseas, maybe set up?
Yeah, we do. But you know what, Emil, and I'm sure you know this, even trying to win a local market is tough, right? Imagine going to a foreign countries, not really understanding the culture, the makeup, the ecosystem, right? And I think a lot of companies that has either gone from Malaysia to those other countries have also told me the same experience, right? Just because ASEAN is this one big happy family of 600 million people doesn't mean that all of us think the same, right? It's totally different, right? Hence why obviously we do have plans, and I think next year you'll probably see and hear some of those things happening. But we want to do it very carefully, picking the right partners, getting feedback from our investors before we actually start the ball rolling, right? Because again, if we do it wrongly, whatever amount of money we put aside for that expansion could finish very, very fast. So yeah, so we're preparing ourselves, but yes, the plans are there.
Right. All the best to you.
Thanks, Mel.
Thank you very much, Sam. We truly appreciate your time coming to the studio today, and I bet the listeners had a lot to learn from you. We look forward to hearing more updates from you in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. For more discussions on the Islamic finance industry, log on to www.islamicfinancenews.com. You can also listen to IFN Podcast on your favorite platforms, including iTunes and Spotify.